Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 139 in this series entitled Anatomy of the Brain and Its Relationship with the Organism. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5762.
Good evening. Tonight's class is dedicated to Shlomo Arya Leib ben Rachel Feiga for a complete and speedy recovery. And since the topic that we will be discussing this evening in the 51st chapter of Tanya is the brain, the power of the brain, which is the particular part of the body that this young boy is has been affected severely, so I want to wish him that he should experience a refuah shleima and a refuah krova. The 51st chapter of the Tanya is dedicated to describe what the soul looks like. What are the soul's defining properties? How does the soul work? And how the soul impacts the body, the cells, the nerves, the neurons, of course the brain, and all of the other components and parts of the body. For 50 chapters, the Alter Rebbe has been mentioning the soul, and the soul, and the soul, and again the soul. The whole Tanya is about souls, a tale of two souls. So finally here he discusses what our souls look like. He begins by explaining that our brains, our physical brains, are the primary seats of the soul. The home, the residence of the neshama is in the brain. And from and through the brain, the soul imparts life, function, design, and energy to all of the organs and components of the body. And as we learned last week, the emphasis of the Alter Rebbe, that the various and distinct functions of a body, for example, the power of sight, the power of hearing, of speaking, of mobility, and so on and so forth, are not properties that begin within the body. It is wrong from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, although other mystics did believe so, that the soul is generic, and the soul's energy is totally uncompounded, it's simple, it's plain, it's indivisible. When the soul's energy enters into the brain, and the brain transmits its life force through the nerves, the cells, the neurons, to the entire body, then the physical anatomy of the body manipulate the genetic energy to serve as a motor for different functions and different purposes. For example, we could say the soul's energy is genetic, but it's the cellular structure that makes up the optic nerves, the nerves that are responsible for our vision, both the optic nerves in the brain and the optic nerves in the eye. It's this structure of the cells of vision that this structure, these cells cause the uncompounded and indivisible energy of the soul to generate vision. Generic, not genetic. It's generic and not genetic. And it's the, I said genetic. Oh, I stand corrected. Quite to the contrary. It's the particular structure of the optic nerves or the auditory nerves or whatever it is, whichever organ or limb or part you're talking about, that generate this particular function and this particular activity and so forth. And the same is true concerning the nose, the same would be true concerning the ear, concerning the mouth, concerning the eye, and concerning every part of the body, that it's the nature of their tissue, of their cell composition, that causes the indivisible energy of the soul to function and express itself in a particular way and to create and generate a certain function. Says the Alter Rebbe, no, it's not like that. This is not the case. All of the properties of the brain and the body begin within the soul. The soul contains, in some pristine and subtle form, the function and design of each and every single organ of the body. When the soul enters the brain, every compartment in the brain, and through it, every compartment in the entire body, attracts the element of the soul that is associated with that particular dimension of the human organism. It's not that they create the function, they attract that particular element of the soul. And this, the Alter Rebbe said, was the reason for the fact that the soul which lives in the brain, so to speak, is conscious of everything that occurs in any part of the body. In fact, the awareness of anything that is experienced in the entire body is experienced within the brain. The brain identifies it, the brain decodes it, the brain recognizes it, the brain experiences it, the brain explains what it is. If the soul power in the brain, soul as in S-O-U-L, if the soul's power in the brain was indivisible, it would experience a unanimous sensation from all parts of the body equally. The reason it doesn't experience a unanimous sensation is because within the soul energy there is already a division of all of the future details and nuances that will be experienced within the body. Of course, yeah. The brain distinguishes between an experience of the data that is perceived by the eye and the odor that is transmitted through the nose. And the brain distinguishes that this is an odor, and the brain distinguishes between thousands of different smells, and the brain distinguishes the different sensations coming from different organs of the body, and so forth. Okay. Yeah. Smell is one experience in the brain, and sight is another experience in the brain, and hearing is another experience. Now, To crystallize this a little more, a little better, there's an interesting story that's told, and I think it's associated somewhat at least with the message that Alter Rebbe brings out here in the beginning of 51. The Holy Rebbe Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev had many grandchildren. In the city where he lived in Berditchev, there was a shatchan, a matchmaker. And the shatchan liked particularly the holy Berditchever, because for every shidduch, for every potential match that he would suggest to the Berditchever, whether it worked out or didn't work out, whether the Berditchever decided to try it out or not to try it out, for every suggestion that he offered for one of the grandchildren or relatives of the Berditchever gave the shatchan 1 ruble. So most of his business he got from the Berditchever, because every single day he would come and he would offer another young man or another young woman for one of his grandchildren. It could be it was a Yavan and Sukkah. It could be that it totally didn't match. But he got his ruble. And the Berditchever told him he can come every day. But the Berditchever made one condition. He has to come after Shachris. When the Berditchever, the Holy Rebbe Yitzchak of Berditchever, would roll up his talus, would fold his talus and roll up his tefillin and put it back in his tefillin bag. And that time, while he was rolling up the tefillin, the matchmaker would come in and offer the names, give him a list of names, and the Berditchever would give him a ruble and then he would leave. Now this story was told by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and here he interrupted and he added something. That a lot of tzaddikim did not fold their talus and wrap their tefillin. Because since the next day they would use it again, they felt that it was... What do they have to use the time to wrap up tefillin that they're going to use tomorrow? They kept the tefillin unwrapped in one place and they used it the next day again. The Berditchever was very cautious to do it on his own. And once one of his chassidim said, "What do you have to do it on your own? We can do it for you. Your time is precious. We'll do it for you." In fact, the Alter Rebbe, who was a close friend of the Berditchever, but much younger, he learned something from all of the students of the Maggid. There were customs in the Alter Rebbe's life that he embraced, and he learned from different students of the Maggid. From the Berditchever, he learned to fold his talus and wrap his tefillin every day. So they asked the Alter Rebbe why. So the Alter Rebbe said, somebody once asked the Berditchever, "Why do you have to do it on your own? We'll do it for you." So the Berditchever said as follows. That the Gemara says and the Mishnah says in Masechta Sota Daf Tes that Moshe Rabbeinu himself dealt with the bones of Yosef. When the Jews left Egypt and Yosef had asked them generations earlier to bury his bones in the Holy Land, so Milanu Gadol MeMoshe, there was no greater Jew at the time than Moshe, and Moshe himself took Yosef HaTzadik's bones. He himself took the bones of Yosef and he made sure that it goes with them throughout the journey in the desert, and ultimately it was buried in Shechem in the Holy Land. So the Mishnah says in Saita, as a reward for this, who took care of Moshe's body? Milanu Gadol Me'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Moshe didn't delegate the job to other people to deal with Yosef, he himself did it. So when Hashem, it came the time to bury Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem didn't delegate the job to anybody else. He did it on his own. Vayikber Yosef Begai, the Pasuk says, Hashem himself buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Berditchever asked why. Why did Moshe feel the need to deal with Yosef's body on his own? And the answer is that even though it was Yosef's body or Yosef's bones, that means it wasn't even a body, it was Yosef's bones, and the soul has been gone from those bones for hundreds of years, nevertheless, the very body in which once upon a time rested such an extraordinary soul has a special sacredness, and therefore Moshe did not want to delegate the job to anybody else. So the Berditchever said as follows. The Zohar says that the 248 mitzvahs are the 248 Evarim de Malka, the organs of the king. So to speak, 248 mitzvahs constitute the 248 organs of Hashem's body, which is a theme in Tanya, one of the major themes in Tanya, beginning with chapter 23. Why is it compared to an organ? Because the physical mitzvah is like the relationship, is like the physical organ in its relationship to the body. to the soul. The physical mitzvah, whether it's the tefillin, the mezuzah, the tzitzis, the charity, is a physical vehicle that contains within it the inner will and desire and craving and wish of Hashem. So the mitzvah, the physical, tangible elements of the mitzvah, is the body that houses within it the divine soul, the divine energy. When is the divine energy and will invested in the organs of the mitzvah? When you're putting on tefillin, you're doing a mitzvah. So then the body, the boxes of tefillin, the black straps, house the essence of divine energy, of the divine will. What happens when you finish doing the mitzvah with? So it's a body without a soul. It's a varin de malka. The will is not there anymore. There's no mitzvah now. The tefillin are just laying there. So you think the tefillin are laying there? What do I have to deal with it? Zakt Moshe Rabbeinu, no, I'm going to deal with the bones of Yosef. Because these are Yosef HaTzadik's bones. So the Baditshuva says, I want to deal with the tefillin after they have lost their soul, after the mitzvah has been fulfilled. Not delegate the job to somebody else. So, This was a side note that the previous Rebbe, when he was telling the story about the Baditshever with the matchmaker, to the Baditshever told him he should come while he wraps the tefillin. The story has an end. For a while, he was offering shidduchim and nothing worked out. And he was an Erlich Yid, and he was a religious Jew. So he tells the Baditshever, I don't understand you. I'm not going to come anymore. I'm getting a ruble every day for nothing. I'm just giving you names and names and names. You don't do anything with them. Why don't you just tell me you're not interested and I'll stop coming? So Baditshuva said, no, come. She said, why? I'm basically stealing a ruble from you each morning. Baditshuva said, I'll explain to you something. Why is it that Hashem created the situation in the world that to find a shidduch is not an easy thing? For some people have luck, mazel. And sometimes after an encounter with one human being, they already know that this is their second half, this is their partner in life, and they enter into marriage. But some people have to meet not one person and not two people, but sometimes five people, and some people have to meet 10, and sometimes it's more, and sometimes it's schlepsich and schlepsich. So many people. Why didn't Hashem create a situation where you should just the first time meet the one you're supposed to marry and you get married? Baditshuva said, because the Gemara says that 40 days before the fetus is created in the womb of its mother, Hashem issues forth the announcement in heaven, the Gemara in Saita, that Bas Pliny Lepliny, that this particular soul is designated to marry this other soul. You know, like in Shul, when you hear about a shidduch, so rumor has it, did you hear who's engaged? Did you hear who's engaged? So the angels, when Hashem ushers forth the message that this person is designated for this person, the angels start circulating the news. Did you hear? Did you hear the shidduchim that came out in heaven today? But the Shiva says like this. Now there are different angels. Every person has his own angels. Angels are created through mitzvahs, through Torah. What happens if your mitzvahs are blemished or your Torah is blemished? They're done with ulterior motives, or certainly they're done with negative motives. So the angels that are created as a result of them are blemished. And one of the blemishes is that some angels are a little bit deaf. They're hard of hearing. So when they hear the announcement in heaven from a particular shidduch and they announce it to their friends, they get the name wrong. So Katlarsky could become Pekarsky, Rabinovich could become Chanovich, Goldberg can become Echveis, whatever. Goldstein, yeah. Now angels, when they say something, it has an effect. So they announce that this person is going to get married to this person, but they said the name wrong. So it has an effect. So what's the effect that it has? That before you reach the real one, you have to go through this name, clear it up, even just by meeting them one time. There was a relationship that cleared up. You fulfilled the announcement of... This is what the Baditshuva said. You fulfilled the announcement of the Malach. Some people have a lot of deaf angels in the family, so a lot of names have been announced. So they have to clear through all the names, and then they get to the real name. So the Baditshuva said, by you coming here every day and mentioning a name, even if they never meet, the very fact that they mention the name, I'm helping my grandchildren immensely, and you deserve a ruble for it. The name is being brought up. We already clear through a lot of names. Now, That's the story. What's the connection to the fact that that this would happen when the Baditshuva wrapped up the tefillin? And the fact that the Rebbe explained why he himself wrapped the tefillin? I don't know. I'm sure there's some connection. It could be it's a similar idea. Could be it's a similar idea. However, the point we see here is that the body, even when it lacks the soul, even when the soul leaves it, contains a very powerful significance. And it's not only because once upon a time there was a soul here. Once upon a time, and this tefillin was a mitzvah, even though now the mitzvah was completed. But from what Alter Rebbe explains in this chapter, it's much deeper than this. It's because the very makeup and design and anatomy of the body exists first within the soul. In other words, all of the properties of the body are essentially a spiritual manifestation of an experience that first exists in the soul, and therefore the very structure and design of the body is reflection of spiritual, profound, mystical, godly truths, which we discussed last week, that this is connected to the argument of the Rambam and the Ramban about the time of the resurrection. We won't get into that now. But this is basically the theme of the beginning of chapter 51. Now, according to this axiom, that the division is within the soul itself, the power of sight exists in the soul, and the power of smell, and the power of hearing, and the power of speaking, and the power of mobility, and so on and so forth. The reproductive elements, and the circulation, and so on, everything. Taste and touch. This indicates, and this is what Alter Rebbe is going to say now, that when we talk about the soul, we have to talk about two dimensions. When we talk about a soul, we have to distinguish between two dimensions. The essence of the soul, which transcends form and design, and the soul that we experience as a source of bodily life. Because of what Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of the chapter, we always have to talk about two elements in the soul whenever we talk about what a soul looks like. And this is what he's going to discuss now. Vihine. It's on the bottom of page 141, Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Vihine. Ein shinui kabalos hakeches v'achayis shebeivari haguf min haneshama mitzad atzmuso muhusam. Now, the variation in receiving the functional powers and life force by the organs of the body from the soul. Each organ receiving from a soul a life force and power in a different form. So this variation in the functional powers that the organs receive doesn't come from the soul's essence and core. So that we should say, that the core and the essence of the soul is divided into 248 different parts. Which are enclosed in 248 locations. According to the design of the various locations of the body's organs, we can say that in the soul's core, in the soul's essence, there is this division of all of the functions of the body, and since there are 248 organs which have 248 functions, we'll say that in the soul's core, there are 248 spiritual functions. That you can say, because shalafiza, according to this nimtze, would follow that atzmus or muhusa, the essence and the core of the soul is mitzuyer b'tzir gashmi, is designed in a physical design udmuz v'tavnis kitavnis haguf. And a likeness and a structure similar to the structure of the body. And he says, Chas v'shalom, heaven forbid to say this. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? You can't say that the core of the soul is divisible. And this has to do, the Alter Rebbe is saying here, two points. There is an axiom in Jewish philosophy that's discussed at length. The Rambam discusses it at length in his Moir Nevuchim, Guide to the Perplexed. The Jewish mystics and Chassidus has embraced this idea enthusiastically. It's known as the concept of Etzem Bilti Mischalik. The Rakachover Gon, in many places in his own explanations on Rambam and Gemara and his responsa, applies this theme even to halachic truths. Etzem Bilti Mischalik means that the core is indivisible, which means that the true essence of something, the mohus of anything, is bilti mischalik. It cannot be compounded, it cannot be divisible. Because if it's divisible, it's not one. And if it's not one, it's not the core. If it's the real core and essence, it has to be one. And if it's divisible, it's not one. Then it is composite of at least two, or even three or four. And if it's not one, it's not the core. It has another core, because the other core is what combined both elements together. If you're dealing with something that is divisible and more into more than one compartment, into more than one element, that means there's another core that brought these two elements together. So this is not the quintessential core. Whenever you're dealing with true core, with true essence, it's bilti mischalik, it's indivisible. If you can divide it, it's not core. That's why physicality, there's nothing in physicality that can be described as the etzem, as the core of something. Even the atom, which in certain times and generations has been believed by some scientists to be indivisible, in later generations they were disappointed, or their disciples were disappointed to find out that is also divisible. And ultimately, from a Jewish philosophical point of view and in Kabbalah, anything that's physical can constitute the core of anything, of reality, because it's divisible. Good point, yeah. It goes back further and further, yeah.
The essence of the essence,
and the one single essence is Hashem. There's also one in Jewish philosophy. There's another expression: Etzem Bilti Mishtana. The core is indivisible and it's unchangeable. Because if it's changeable, it's already not core. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe brings out the first point is that you can say that the true core, if you're dealing with the core, the quintessence of the soul, should be divisible. It's not the core. The Alter Rebbe says even more. Since these 248 powers manifest themselves within physical space, even if they wouldn't manifest themselves within physical space, you would only talk about spiritual division, it would still be impossible to associate spiritual division to something that is core. But here you're talking about a division that relates and is associated with physical space. The body, which is even a greater division, this you for sure cannot apply to the essence of the soul. Because this would mean that the essence of the soul is divided in a commensurate fashion to the physical compartments of the body. Ella, the truth is that Kula, the entire soul, is Etzem Echad. It's a single entity. It's not a divisible entity, it's a single, unified, core entity, one entity. And Ruchni, it's spiritual. And what do I mean that it's a single entity? He says, Pashat. It's simple, it's plain, it's uncompounded. There is a oneness. You can talk about an Etzem Echa that is not Pashat. You can talk about one nation. A nation that constitutes oneness. Or you can talk about one body or one unit, but this is not poshut. You can't say that it is an uncompounded oneness. It's a oneness that is composite of many elements. A nation may be one nation, but it has perhaps millions of members. The same is true about a family. You talk about one family, that's mamish and etzem echad, it's one unit, but you can't say that it's poshut. Poshut means a single unit, an uncompound oneness. It's plain, it's utterly removed from any divisions. So he says, what do I mean by Etzem Echad, that it's Parshat? And what do I mean that it's spiritual? Not just spiritual. Mumufshit Mekol Tzir Gashmi. It's a spirituality that is divested of any physical design. And it's divested of any type of definition of physical space, measure, or limitation. Mitzad Mohusavats Musa, by virtue of its intrinsic core and essence. When we're dealing with the Mohusavats Musa, with the core and the essence of the soul, we are talking about an entirely single spiritual entity, which oneness is plain and uncompounded, and which spirituality is totally removed from any physical design and any physical space and measure or limitation. And Alter Rebbe adds even more, when you're talking about the soul's essence, you can't say that the soul is in the brain of the head more than in the feet. Because the core and the essence of the soul is not subject to the entire concept and dimension of physical space and limitation, so therefore you can't attribute to the soul this limitation of being more in the head than in the foot. Which means, apparently you could say, okay, the essence of the soul and its core is uncompounded, it's not a composite of various units, it's one single, unified, and therefore undefined entity that doesn't have any particular definition or any particular shape or design, not even a spiritual shape and design. And when you say that something doesn't have a spiritual shape and design, basically we can't talk about it. Dr. Rebbe says you can't talk, nobody could describe what a soul is really. Because if it has at least spiritual qualities that are divisible, you can describe it. Let's take love. Love is not a physical experience, but it has a quality, it has a shape, it has a design. It doesn't have a physical shape. It has a psychological shape, so to speak, a metaphysical shape. Here he's saying that you can't even attribute this type of definition to the soul, to the core of the soul. So the core of the soul, we basically don't have in our vocabulary, of the vocabulary of human beings, any words that can describe it. We don't know what a soul is. We don't know what your soul is really like. We don't know. But maybe you could say, that's the soul itself. But when the soul enters into the body, perhaps it is affected and channeled and filtered based on the vessel that receives it. So maybe we could say that the brain is more of a vessel to the essence of the soul than the foot. So Dr. Rebbe says no. That a vessel should create a division is possible only if previously, before the energy enters into the vessel, there was already a subtle, there were subtle properties that were similar to the receptacle. Then certain receptacles can affect certain changes. But when you're talking about a type of reality that is totally distinct or removed from any type of vessel, so no type of vessel can create any change in it because it has no relationship to it whatsoever. When the essence of the soul enters into the body, you can say that the head, the brain grasps it more than the lungs or more than the liver or more than the toes. It is so removed, it doesn't have any definition. And therefore you can say that it lives in the brain. Rather, it's in the entire body in an identical fashion, and it's not connected with the toe through the brain. With both of them, it has no real relationship whatsoever. It is so removed, so aloof. It is a sublime, transcendental reality that has no definition, and it is not custom made to the anatomy of the body. It's not designed based on the body. It's not tailored to the body. So it exists in the body, but it exists in the body in a way that the body's instruments don't experience it. And therefore the brain doesn't experience it more than the fingers of the hand experience or more than the toe experiences. Because there's no part of the brain that is designed in a way that it could serve as a vessel to experience the core of the soul. It's undefined, it's indivisible, and we can't even describe it. So when we talk about the divisibility of the soul, we always have to distinguish. That's what he's bringing out between two dimensions. The core of the soul, we can't talk about. If so, what did he begin in the beginning of the chapter, that the soul is not generic? The soul is divisible. So the Alter Rebbe explains, goes on. Rak, however, Shetaryag mine kaiches v'chayis klulim ba mibahus of atzmus. There are 613 kinds of spiritual functional powers and vital forces that are contained and absorbed within the soul, within the core and the essence of the soul. They don't constitute the essence of the soul, but they are absorbed and contained within the essence of the soul. 613 types of functional powers. Lotzeis helapoyel v'agili me'ahelim. They will become actualized and they will emerge from concealment. In order to animate the 248 organs and 365 blood vessels of the body. The core of the soul is indivisible. It's not even defined. You can't define it in any way. Yet, in its undefined reality, it contains a capacity to provide a body with life. Which means that this soul, this indivisible soul, possesses within itself, the Alter Rebbe says, something that you could maybe call a code. And if and when this code is decoded, it serves as a source of life for the entire body. This code, the soul contains within it a code, so to speak, that contains 613 kinds of spiritual functions and vital forces. When this code gets picked up by the brain decodes it. The brain generally is a genius in decoding, so the brain decodes the code of the soul. It decodes it and it brings forth to actualization the life-giving potential of the soul. A potential that was henceforth concealed and absorbed within an indivisible, unquantifiable soul. Similar. I'll explain. I'll explain what he means. No, this is what he says. Let's explain what he means. What is a soul? What is a soul? Here in chapter 51, he is describing the soul as the origin of the life of the human body. The soul is the power plant of human life. The soul is a biological mechanism. Does this constitute the core of the soul? Is this what a soul is? Is this what constitutes the quintessence of a soul? The Alter Rebbe says no. The quintessence of a soul is not defined by the fact that it is a biological entity, that it is a source of bodily life. That's not the essence of the soul. The essence of the soul, he doesn't even describe. He says it's indescribable. Yeah, similar. It's not what a soul is. However, the soul's definition is not that it invigorates a body. The soul's definition is not that it is a biological entity. It's not that it is a life-giving a force. It's not that it is consciousness. That's not what the soul is in its essence. However, in its indivisible, undefined essence, it also contains a capacity. And one of these capacities, in its endless capacity, one of the capacities that the soul contains is a code. In the essence, it's a code. It's not defined. If you take this code, the brain takes this code and uncodes it, what does the brain have now? The brain has a spiritual life force that can give life to a body. It can invigorate a body. It can animate a body. It can govern a body. And it can make a body live. In the soul, in the source, it's totally concealed. In the endless, undefined entity, this doesn't occupy data. It's there, yeah. And when the brain picks it up, When the brain picks up this element of the soul, the brain decodes, the brain breaks this code, and it actualizes this latent dimension of the soul as a giver of life, as a provider of life to the body. But that's not what a soul essentially is. A soul is not that it provides life to a body. A soul itself totally transcends that. However, in its absolute transcendence, it also contains this capacity. When is this capacity actualized? Now, this capacity is no small thing. Relative to the essence of the soul, it's a small thing. Relative to life, and the soul is unbelievable. This capacity of the soul is extraordinary. No, even the essence of the soul exists within the body. Not in the brain more than anywhere else. Right. 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 However, there's another element, and this element contains within itself 613 spiritual functional powers and vital forces that could then give life and invigorate and animate every single part of the body. And when the brain taps into this, it decodes it and it actualizes this power and it transmits its energy to every single part of the body, to the 613 parts of the body. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying.
So the soul itself was never, in a sense, was not created even to animate the body, according to what you're saying.
The essence of the soul's function is not to animate the body.
It's like, let's say, a horse. The horse is not created to give people rides.
A horse is not created to give people rides. Although we enjoy the horse very much,
right.
And we marvel on the fact that it gives great rides, and it's a lot of fun. But that's not what the horse is. Although I don't know if it's exactly an incomplete example, but you're trying to give it some visualization. The essence of the soul itself is totally transcends that. Chelak alakam. Chelak alakam imal mamash. And the fact that the essence of the soul should live within a body, that itself, on this, Chassidus says, when we say in Asher Yatzar, Reifei Chal Basar, or Mafli Lasses, he does wondrous things. The Ramah explains it at the beginning of Erechaim, that it refers to the connection of the soul and the body. That this undefined essence should exist within the body. It's not grasped in the body, but it exists within the body. And it exists within the entire body equally. This is an extraordinary phenomenon that transcends nature. This relationship, this shidduch between the soul and body.
Just like God is not defined.
This is the reason, by the way, that sometimes you see that a person in a particular organ or a particular part of their body has an unbelievable power that apparently is not even processed through the brain and doesn't exist in any other organ. There's some people, for example, that in every other area they were as coarse as horses, like you say. But for example, in art, they had an extraordinary spiritual sensitivity. And I mean, of I don't want to use the word, sometimes of demonic forces, either in the negative sense or in the positive, or sometimes in the positive sense. Because sometimes a ray of the essence breaks through, it pierces through the layers, and that could be in a finger, it could be in smell, in your power of smell, it could be in your power of speech. Certain people have a magical power of speech, even though their brain power is not so extraordinary, and other elements, their understanding, their comprehension. Sometimes a particular organ, not necessarily through the brain, has a access to a power that totally transcends the ordinary dimensions of this human being's life. Because then there is a hint, this is sometimes explained, because there is a window has been opened to the deeper part of the soul. Yes? Perhaps.
So when you say...
Not through the brain, like
right.
The window opens to the...
Yeah.
So when you say your will, Hashem, you're saying your will,
And that's why he says in chapter 2 that the soul is a chelik alakami ma'al mamash. It's divine. And divinity cannot be described and it cannot be defined. Why did he say chelik? What does it mean? A part? Over there, he uses par chelik. We discussed that in chapter 2. I mean, you can't say that a soul is God. Alter Rebbe doesn't say that. That's why he has to say chelik. I mean, it's important to emphasize that. You can't say that a soul is God. That's absolutely wrong. That's why he says chelik, it's a part, and we know Hashem is indivisible. That is the miracle of a soul. But we discussed in chapter 2. We're not going to get into that now. But this is what Alter Rebbe is defining. It's important to understand about the nature of how a soul, what a soul looks like. Now, even concerning the soul's personality, even that sometimes transcends our imagination. Even that element sometimes transcends our imagination completely. There's an interesting, I mean, a lovely, beautiful story that's told that occurred with the fifth Chabad Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, Reb Shalom Ber Shneerson. This occurred in the year. This occurred in the year Tafresh Memches, which means 1897. In the city of Lubavitch, where he lived in Russia, in White Russia, it was before the New Year's.